And I feel like, I just went through puberty. Did you hear that?
Turn the TV off, Darren. We're not watching this. Girls, go upstairs. You can't see that on TV.
Anyway, happy Monday.
No.
What is it?
It's how Elvis brought us together as friends.
How is that a whole conversation? Like, it's DMing. I started bothering Maggie over DMs, and then she was like, oh, I have to answer her at this point. And then why we're friends.
That's so disrespectful, but so true. I wish I could scroll all the way up in our DMs and see what the first one was, because it takes too long because we talk every day.
Literally, like, every second of every day. So I don't think I would pay someone to, like, actually do it for us, though.
Yeah, if anyone wants $5 from Mary, then hit us up. We'll give you our logins, and you can scroll up for 2 hours to find it. Girl, I have so many ideas in this book, but you hate me.
What are they? I'm ready.
They're quotes from all the black artists that he changed their lives, saying, like, oh, Elvis inspired me.
That's interesting, because I saw someone. Should I bring this up? I feel like I should.
Okay, bring it up. Go.
Okay, so there's been, at least from what I've been seeing, a lot of controversy, a lot of upheaval in the Elvis community recently, because I'm not going to name any names, but there's this one lady who uploaded a YouTube video, and basically she spilled a lot of misinformation.
Oh, I didn't watch the video, but I saw people posting and telling people to report her. But I don't pander to that sort of thing, because, you know, I'm not sensitive, but I do understand. Yeah, even though I'm not about defending Elvis or whatever, I think, like, you should step in at that point, because it's not even like she's slagging him off in, like, oh, I don't like Elvis. Like, that's fine. But she's, like, spreading falses as facts, and that's not right.
What bothered me is that the people who were commenting, because the comment section was popping. I mean, with a lot of positive comments, a lot of people saying, like, oh, thank you so much. I didn't know this stuff before you said it. And that's what makes me be like, well, you're spreading this information to a whole new generation of people that now think that Elvis was all of these awful things. And it's not even like she was, like, putting his music down or whatever. She was putting down, like, him as a person, his character, his addictions, his relationships, really serious accusations that it was clear that she knew nothing about. But my point is that people in the comments section were talking about how he's, you know, we've all heard it before, how he stole black music. And there's this one person that was saying, like, there's only one black artist that made a comment about that, and he wasn't into it. He hated Elvis for stealing the music and everything. And I was like, I could take the time to comment and tell you actually how many people have said something. So that's
we
why
could, let's do the podcast right now. Like, I literally wrote all these down. So that's perfect. Before this woman released the video. So I have tons, pages of who said them and long quotes. So
yes.
We can go through and we can talk about it, hon. So let's do that.
I literally have such a passion for this topic, because I've been through, like, personal experience, like, traumatic experiences where people... it's horrible, because you're like, at the time I wasn't really educated on it. So that's what made me, like, really delve into it and, like, you know, teach myself.
I just think it's wild that accusation was even ever born, because Elvis, as we all know, was born in the ghetto. He was surrounded by the black community, the black culture, while he was growing up in gospel church on Beale Street. He would hang out at Beale Street, where only black people were even allowed to go, but people just knew him locally. So, like, Elvis, oh my God, the one white boy we stan in this house, basically. So, you know, he grew up so dirt poor. Obviously, Elvis still has white privilege. He doesn't have class privilege. He wasn't born in a privileged environment. Elvis grew up poor, lower class. So it's, you know, it's hard to sort of find that line between, oh, but he's white. It's like, well, yes, but he was in the black neighborhood.
I've heard people like even compare it to, they treated him as if he was black because he lived in a black community. He obviously like took part in their activities. He didn't see any segregation with them. So it was like, oh, you're hanging out with a black person. That's a big no-no. When you don't have any money or people think that you're dirt on the ground, it's the same. It's the same situation. So it's hard.
So Elvis would have been still discriminated against because he was poor, because there was a big class division, especially in the 1930s. People forget Elvis was born in the 1930s. Like, there was still segregation. It like blows my mind how people compare like today's standards with back then. But yeah, there are so many people who, when Elvis was a kid, were his friends. And I remember, I can't remember his name, I'm afraid, but I remember a story. Sorry, I slurred. I stuttered. I remember a story.
I slurred.
But they used to go to the cinema together, and because, which is a theater, a movie theater in America.
Right.
I say cinema. I'm British, you know.
Yeah.
They used
to
go to the, they would go to the cinema, but because blacks and whites were separated, they used to not pay for tickets and sit on the stairs together. But they used to, he said, we used to pay for the candy though, so we felt like it was justified because we paid for the food but not the tickets, so we felt better about it being illegal. But I just like, I don't see how anyone, I think it's just propaganda because of that one press interview that was faked at the time about Elvis, that quote.
I if I can plug it real fast, because it's an episode I'm really proud of on my Instagram account. If you don't follow me, it's at my boy, my boy. But I did a whole, I debunked that whole entire myth because, like Maggie said, it's false. Like the place that the people were saying, like the place that he said that, he never was even in that place. So I debunked that like whole thing. But basically, yeah, the where he said like, oh, the only thing a black man can do for me is shine my shoes or something like that.
Which I'm sure that he had no comment about or debunked himself when he was asked about it, but whatever. I just don't think it's worth even entertaining that because it's just so obviously a lie. I don't understand. I can understand how people confuse it because propaganda is a powerful thing, and that's why it's so important what Mary and people are doing to debunk it without getting heated, because the people who get heated, just they lose the point. At the end of the day, it's about debating, not arguing, and it's about educating. Beautiful,
yes.
Talented, amazing, never been done before, eat it, give birth to it, all of that
stuff.
So, yeah. Yes.
I agree, and I feel like,
oh.
I just went through puberty. Did you hear that?
So anyway, I thought, let's do some quotes then, because this seems interesting. I have a book here of quotes. My dad just sneezed, and I'm sure the mic picked it up. It was so loud in the next room.
I heard that.
Did you hear it? It was literally, girl, that was so loud.
Hey, Gary. Shout out to Gary.
Hey, Gaza. Okay, my dad loves Elvis more than all of you bitches. So I
please, okay.
And as well, this woman, no offense to her, but full offense to her, you know what I mean? Like, she wasn't there at the time. And I have quotes right now, video footage even. You can Google it yourself. It's actually on my Instagram account. So check it out on my IGTV, because it's full long video of black artists, all black artists, you know, praising Elvis and saying, oh, he's the reason I was able to break through into mainstream. And we about the logic of that and why that makes sense, but we should not take the word of someone who wasn't there at the time. We should be taking the word of people who were there, people who were friends of Elvis, knew Elvis while he was alive, and were like, they met him, they knew him more than anyone will now. Like, you can be a historian all you want, and you can have all the hindsight in the world to what someone was like, but you will never know someone as best as someone who met them. You can study someone never having met them, but you will never have the first-hand experience. It's a different thing. You can't compare them. So what I'm saying is, it's more valuable to have met someone. So I would rather take, you know, Rufus Thomas, James Brown, Little Richard's, you know, words on it, Sammy Davis Jr.'s words on it, than Jessica on her YouTube channel.
And I feel like they mean so much more, and this is an obvious statement, but they mean the world because they're coming from the mouths of Black artists that rose in popularity during that time. So it's not like it's Black artists from today looking back being like, oh, well, I would have loved or hated or whatever. It's people from the time that are Black saying how they feel. And also, this lady's video that she did, she kind of centered the whole point of it was about Elvis and Priscilla's relationship. So as we can see, that's where it got ugly. But she, you know, she said things and she was like, and I've heard and it was said, and she never backed up her sources. She never said where she got her information. So I want everyone who's listening to the podcast right now to know that the things that we're saying come from credible sources, and that we would never share information that isn't true or that is, you know, from not somewhere that you can trust. Yeah.
You want it from the mouths of the real people. And another thing, these aren't even quotes I've seen written down. These are quotes I've seen in video form. You can't fake that. Like, that's a video footage of
literally
saying, I knew Elvis. This is what I thought. So let's just dive into a random one.
Okay.
Let me find a groovy one. They're all good. I will just from the bat say they are all positive. And I mean that. Like, you can Google this video. You can Google, I think it's called A Tribute to Elvis. It's something like that. I have it on my IGTV anyway, if you want to check it out. So this is from, the first one I'm going to do is from Myrna Smith, and she was in The Sweet Inspirations, who were the backing singers to Elvis while he was on tour in the 70s and stuff. So they would have had a close working relationship with Elvis. I'm pretty sure he had a big fat crush on her as well.
Yeah, didn't he ask her to go out and she was like, nah.
They had flirtations, as you would, honestly.
As you would, like, get it. Anyway.
Okay, so this is her account of when they first did the Astrodome, which was, like, a big moment.
Mm-hmm.
We had no idea that there would be any racial flack regarding it. Our first racial encounter was when we went to Texas. Elvis was told by his people that, well, you can leave the Black girls home. You don't have to bring them. So Elvis wasn't going to do the Astrodome unless his girls could be with him. And he demanded that we be given the star treatment. We had to be in our convertible where everybody could see us and our little blonde could drive us. And that was his statement. You don't like it? Deal with it or I'm not going to be there. And I thought that was very big of him.
And then Sissy Houston, who is Whitney Houston's mom and was also in The Sweet Inspirations, had this to say.
People said he was prejudiced. I said, well, I never felt his prejudice. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he was prejudiced, you know.
He treated everyone
the same. The same, yeah.
You know, certain stereotypes about him.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because he was a wonderful person, so good looking, you just didn't want to even look nowhere else. He was so handsome, but he was just as nice, fun.
So, period. What else do you want?
Literally, it's coming from the people who were Black, but also worked for him. So people could be like, yeah. Oh, he had like Black vocal singers, like working under his like authority. Like, no, they were his friends.
These are people who he worked close with. And she even says, like, I didn't see him outside of a work environment. Like, we were friends, but I didn't care what he did in his, like, his own time. And Sammy right. Davis Jr. says something very, I think it's very classy of him. I can't, for lack of a better word, I think it's very graceful of him. What's a word?
I like classy.
Okay, so this is classy. And I think this just sums up what my stance on it all is. So, here we go.
Here we go.
ASMR. Wait.
Girl.
I do a Sammy Davis Jr. impression.
Please don't.
Wait.
It ain't my business what he did. Only thing I want to know, was he my friend? Did I enjoy him as a performer? Did he give the world of entertainment something? Yes, on all counts. And that's the name of that tune. You understand what I mean?
Period. So that's Sammy Davis Jr. And we can talk about Frank Sinatra, who was probably the biggest advocate, like, poster person for using your white privilege for good deeds, because he knew that, like, Sammy Davis Jr. would never get to the mainstream in people's minds because people were so close-minded and segregated literally and mentally. Sinatra saw something in him, and he didn't care about what people would see and what people would think.
That reminds me of Sam Phillips. Like, didn't he have a quote that said, like, I don't care who you are, what color you are. If I like the way you sing, I'm going to sign you, or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, Sam Phillips, I think it's Sam Phillips, correct me if I'm wrong, is the one who said, I need a white man who can sing like a black man. Because it was the master plan. It was like, I need someone who's going to have the sound that I prefer, which is black music, because black music had something that white music at the time, or mainstream music, just didn't. So he wanted someone who would technically, legally, I guess, be allowed to perform, literally legally be allowed to sing on white people radio, but who would allow black music to at least get through in the way it was allowed to do so. And then so many more people were allowed to come through this door because Elvis opened it for them.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, I'm feeling the urge to just, like, lay it out on the table. And this is what I wish I could say to everybody who thinks that Elvis stole black music, is that what he did is he sang a different type of music that, like you said, when you're a teen in, like, the 40s and stuff, what you listened to was, like, Glenn Miller and, like, jazz and Frank Sinatra.
Dean Martin.
Literally, things like that. And so rock and roll was this brand new sound that, like, brought so many, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
genres?
No, it brought, like, it brought people out of their shell. Like, it made, like, when women, what was that? What the frick? Like, not feminism, but, like,
emancipation.
Yeah. So it what Elvis did is he exposed that sound that wasn't his. He never claimed it, but he exposed it to a whole group of people, white people, that learned to appreciate this music. And then from Elvis, how do you think we got to where we are today? Like, we're still not like, oh, white music, black music. We're like, oh, this person sang that song, that person sang that song. So Elvis, like, really was singing music that he was comforted by, music that he knew well, and brought it to a whole new group of people that also learned to experience it, so that the original artists and the people who, you know, brought that sound to life were shown to the world in a non-segregated light.
So this is from James Brown, probably the biggest soul at the time, soul artist.
Love him. Hi, James.
His quote is, like, my favorite of all of them. Mm-hmm. And it just sums up what we just said.
Well, soul has no color, has no barrier. But I also had a lot of good people that brought out a lot. I want to pay a tribute to a good friend of mine, Brother Elvis Presley, who opened up a lot of doors for me to get through. Elvis was a pioneer, and he came out 1 year before I did. He was out in 55, Heartbreak Hotel. And then I come in 56. And Elvis and I were very good friends up until the last minute of his bodily life. But he'll always live because of the fact he was such a beautiful man. I don't care what nobody say, I know Elvis. You know, there are a lot of rumors. Elvis and I sang spiritual together. And he'd buy any movie that I'd make, any film, he'd buy the film and close the theater up and show it. I love Elvis for being a man. I love him for what he'd done for the people and the chance he gave me. He kept me from being number one. I was number one soul and he was number one world, and it took a long time, but it's almost like the two rental cars. Uh-huh. It made me try harder, and I love Elvis for it.
And I feel like people get really upset, especially now with, you know, racial injustice has never gone away, but we have been experiencing some uprisings in it today, as we all know. But I feel like today, people getting mad over Elvis stealing black music, why does it still have to be black music?
I understand how people are like, it's cultural. Like, of course, it means more coming from the people who created it, because black people did create it. I think James Brown expressed it perfectly. You would rather it be in the mainstream and it be for everyone. It has no barrier. It's because music is for everyone. And Elvis thought that. Elvis saw that. And everyone surrounding Elvis at the time, black and white people alike, were into it. Even Little Richard, who I think didn't like Elvis at the start of his career, definitely changed. He had like a change of heart.
My buddy, my baby, I love him. We are very good friends. And it was a very great loss to the music world. Elvis is one of the greatest performers ever lived in this world, and electrifying, elevated. Oh, he's just, you can't say enough. He's just beautiful. I love Elvis.
A man at times.
And a legend.
So Little Richard, who is a huge, I feel like if you're going to attribute the invention of rock and roll to anyone, is Little Richard, I would say. But I don't even want to attribute it to anyone because it's a grab of all different genres. It's soul, it's gospel, it's pop, it's everything. So I feel like it can't even be defined. So why would you want to attribute it to one person?
So as hippie as it might sound, you know, progressive, whatever you want to say about that, I do in my heart of hearts believe that music belongs to the world. And I feel like music it's stronger than literally anything. It can bring you out of depression. It can heal your body. It can unite people. It can, what's the word that's not segregate? What's the opposite of segregate? It unites people. And so I feel like at this point, we should just, I don't even know where I'm going with this. Honestly, just appreciate how music has progressed and appreciate the people that helped it progress.
I really see Elvis, and you won't get this reference if you're not a musical theater person, but I really see Elvis as like the Tracy Turnblad of music, because in Hairspray, I'll just explain for people who don't know, but Tracy Turnblad is a white girl, and she gets on this show that's a dance show, and she kind of breaks the mold in that she's a bit flirtatious with her dancing, and she's a big girl, and then because when she got on it, she broke the barrier. It enabled black people to get on the show in a non-segregated way with the white people together. And it just sort of cracked the mold of it being a white people show. So obviously that's fictional, but I do just see Elvis as being the Tracy Turnblad. She didn't steal white, like the black people dancing. She saw them and she already had the flair in her heart, but she saw what they were doing and decided to take it on and make it mainstream so they could then do it as well.
And I don't even think that's such a good point, but I don't think that Elvis, like, in his mind was like, oh, I'm gonna do this so that these people get credit. I genuinely don't think that that was his motive. I think that he just sang the music that he loved, and he didn't see the problem with it. He didn't see why people were like, why do you move like that? You can't, that's so wrong. He didn't see why that was an issue. He didn't see why him sounding like not the typical white man was an issue. So I feel like he, and I talk about this all the time, of how he inspires me to be, you know, truly and uniquely like yourself, no matter what anybody else thinks, because I think that that's how he lived his life. He knew he wasn't hurting anybody, and he had the goodness in his heart, and he knew that, but he did what made him feel the most comfortable and the most true to himself. You don't want anybody like putting on a show or acting fake, especially in the public eye. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And it's that thing as well. Elvis never, what's the word? Elvis never claimed to invent it as well. He always gave credit. In the comeback special, if you've ever seen the comeback special, if you've ever seen the comeback special, Elvis says, frick, what does he even say, Mary?
You know, I appreciate all these new groups. He gives like all these shout outs and everything. And then he's like, rock and roll music is basically a combination of rhythm and blues, gospel, jazz, like all these different things. He basically just spills the tea on what rock and roll is and say like it's from all these different types of music but molded into like one sound.
Yeah, and he said black people started it. He like those words spill from his mouth. It's crazy to me that so many people started because they heard Elvis and they decided to start. John Lennon decided to form the Beatles because he wanted to be Elvis. He was like, I want to be Elvis so bad. Bob Dylan loves Elvis. I mean, how many people, just everyone. And therefore, people who are inspired by the Beatles, it all drives from Elvis. I feel like he's just the founding father of like good music and being a rock star.
And that's why people also argue like, Elvis stole this music, so he does not deserve the title of the King of Rock and Roll. The reason that he has that title, which he didn't even own up to,
he literally said,
"God, like Jesus is the king. I'm just an entertainer." That's mm-hmm. what he said.
That's a quote.
But the reason he has that title, literally from Elvis Presley, the reason that he has that title is because he literally reinvented rock and roll. He gave it a new, fresh start.
He brought it to the mainstream, and it's not his, I don't want to say it's not his fault, that doesn't make sense, but it just took off. It was all about luck. It wasn't a motive behind it, like, oh, I'm gonna steal black music. That's crazy, because that's where he came from. Those are his roots too. And you're sort of stripping that away from Elvis and sort of saying, well, you don't deserve to sing the songs you grew up with because it's for black people. It's like, well, he grew up with it too. You're taking that away from him. Why? Like, I don't see the point. Another thing. No, there's nothing else.
Perfect. Well, I was just going to say, like, there's a ton of other people, but because this is an Elvis podcast, I'll point out Juliet Prowse.
Please do.
She grew up in, correct me if I'm wrong, South Africa. I think she grew up, her parents worked down there or something like that. So she talks openly about this. She has a very special place in her heart for where she grew up. Is she African? Is she South African? No. Is that her culture though? Kind of, because that's where she grew up and that's what she loves.
She was born in Bombay, and her mom was African and her dad was English, but her dad died when she was three. So she would have been raised in Bombay with a South African mom. So that would have impacted her.
That's like probably not the perfect example. Like, I know there's a lot of other people that are born maybe like in the US, but then right after they're born, they move somewhere completely different. And it could be the same. I'm just saying it could be the same situation. Like, you love what you grew up around and what, you know, makes you feel like yourself. Exactly.
Yeah, if she grew up, she's a dancer, so I don't know a lot about her, but if she grew up in Africa, possibly, I don't know if this is true, but possibly just anyone, not even her, but if you grew up in a certain place, everything you do is going to be influenced by the environment around you. Does that mean you don't deserve to replicate that on a screen, on a stage?
I don't know if anybody who's listening, or you, Maggie, are into country music, but...
No, I'm not.
Literally, Charlie Pride, who is a very famous country music singer, and the co-host of the CMA Awards this year was Darius Rucker, who is a black country music singer, and... that's crazy to me, because usually, you know, black artists aren't really represented in country music.
Yeah, Lil Nas X.
Girl.
I'm gonna take my... I just started singing.
Literally that. But yeah,
I mean,
like...
him, he's a black gay man, did a country song, period. I think it's just beautiful, the amount of diversity that music can offer, especially in this day and age, without prejudice. I just think it's a wonderful thing. Also...
I agree.
I'd like to just mention Marilyn Monroe. I always do.
I love her.
And she's another example of someone who used their white privilege for good, along with Sinatra and Elvis. Ella Fitzgerald said she felt indebted to Marilyn Monroe because there was a place where she was going to be booked for a show, and they said, oh, we don't want you because you're black. We've never had a black person perform here. But Marilyn Monroe said, if you book her, I will come every night and watch every show, and you'll get the clout because I'm Marilyn Monroe, girl.
Yes.
And she did. And they booked her, and she did.
What an icon.
And that's because she knew that would help her be booked. That's using your white privilege for good. And I think we can compare that to what Elvis did. Black people aren't allowed to sing on the radio. They're not allowed to share their music with a mainstream audience. I'm going to bring that. Not that he had this in his mind, but I'm going to bring the music they love and the music I love, I grew up with, to the mainstream, because he's the right person to do it. There's another instance where In the Ghetto, the writer of In the Ghetto, approached Sammy Davis Jr. and said, record this song. It's written like for you, basically. And Sammy Davis Jr. turned it down at the time and said, no, give it to Elvis, because I didn't grow up in the ghetto. This is a black artist saying, I didn't grow up in the ghetto. Elvis did.
Yeah.
So Elvis sang that in the comeback special, but then it was a huge hit for Elvis. So Sammy Davis Jr. did it later, but the first instance he denied it. He was like, I wasn't born in the ghetto, like I won't be able to sing that with all my chest, because Elvis could sing that because he was.
No, I agree. I'm kind of piggybacking off of what you said. This has nothing to do with race, but when the polio the polio sickness, if you will, was going around and the vaccine came out for it, Elvis literally like eradicated, is that the right word?
Eradicate.
He eradicated polio because he did the poster for the freaking shot. Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, if Elvis getting the shot, then I'll do it too. Like, people would listen to him because of who he was. Right. You're using your voice, which you are, like we already saying, we're having white privilege. So we have the opportunity to go out and do this stuff to help people that we care about. And I think that essentially, like, it, even if it's not his like starting mindset, if it wasn't his starting mindset, Elvis definitely progressed with that thought as he became more popular.
You could say it with anything for Elvis, because I think even like, I think feminism is a strong word for him being in the 1950s, but like female, I'm just gonna say it, feminism.
Yeah.
When Elvis hit the street, Elvis was so sexy without doing it on purpose. He was just sexy, like, sorry girl, what are you gonna do about it?
Yeah,
he was so sexy, and because they saw it, they got a taste of it, as opposed to your whole teenage life being exposed to nothing on the TV that was even remotely related to anything dirty. Mm-hmm. Elvis came on, which nowadays, Tame Dancing, what we see now, Nicki Minaj's ass, no offense to her, I stan Nicki. This one is for the boys with the boomer system. Tap down AC with the
girl.
I love Nicki Minaj. But you can compare it to what we see now, you know, in dancing and in videos and on TV.
Right.
It was tame. But back then, oh my Lord. Turn the TV off, Darren. We're not watching this. Girls, go upstairs. You can't see that on TV. It would have been amazing. And imagine being a prepubescent or a pubescent girl at the time, or a guy.
Yeah.
A prepubescent teen, a teenager just at the time. So like wanting to break out of that shell, wanting to be emancipated. And Elvis comes on and he shakes his legs and you're like, it was something new. It was crazy. So I think it even helped that idea of like, wait, girls like sex? It was like, yeah.
Yeah, I did an episode on how Elvis, like, you know, feminism wasn't even a term like in the 50s, but Elvis, progressive as he was, we all know that he was so progressive in so many areas of his life. But even feminism, in a time where nobody knew what feminism could be or was, he started, you know, a trend where, you know, girls, like you said, broke out of their shell and they discovered a whole new part of themselves.
I feel like Elvis was the first person anyone really screamed for. Like, the real rock star, like, oh my God, Elvis. They really just, like, didn't even care. I don't care what you sing. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. You're fit. And I'm going to scream. Like, it was just like...
Literally.
What's it called? Mania. It was the first instance of real mania. And I feel like Frank Sinatra, as big as he was, did not have the sex appeal. I understand that he's sexy. We're allowing it. He's a silver fox. I'm not discounting the draw of Sinatra, but I'm just saying he wasn't a sex bomb at the time. Even like Tom Jones, who, you know, was around just after Elvis, I think. He was really the sex symbol overtly. I feel like Elvis is sexy, but in the way, like, he doesn't, I don't mean it. I'm just like, he's very coy about it. But Tom Jones, he's like, I'm sexy and I know it. Like, it's a different type of sex symbol. But I feel like if it wasn't for Elvis breaking that barrier, Tom Jones would never. All I'm saying is Elvis walked so Tom Jones could run.
Girl,
Elvis walked so these bitches could run. I'm just saying, that's it. That's all I'm saying.
Period.
Guys, if you want an input on what we talk about on the podcast, you can follow us. Follow me at Elvis_in_leather and follow Mary
at my_boy_.
Perfect. Yeah, but if you want an input on what we talk about on these podcasts, comment it on a YouTube video or DM us personally on Instagram and we will definitely get back to you because we're not busy.
Yeah, we literally love hearing from you guys, so please, if you have anything,
interact more than possible. I love the interaction. Also, it will help our engagement numbers if you comment and stuff like that. So please share the love. It costs you nothing, you freaks.
Literally, I mean, it's free.
Yeah, so just do it. Even if you do a thumbs down, I think we get money.
Here's an interesting one from Justin Timberlake, if anyone cares.
I love Justin. I'm not a stan of Justin Timberlake, but I really like him.
T, well, should we listen to what he has to say about all this?
Yeah, please tell me.
When you come from Memphis, music is in your blood. From the blues artist Elvis Presley, they have all had a major influence on my music. I admire Elvis, always have. He combined all these different types of music and just made it one.
That's beautiful, and that's true. He spilled the tea.
He did.
This is from Reba. Do you want one from Reba, Mary?
Literally, Reba had an exhibit at Graceland last year because she was one of the people. They had like a whole exhibit at Graceland with like people who Elvis influenced their music, and she was in there. So, yes, please.
So, honestly, period. I liked watching Elvis sing and act in his movies. He showed the world that you don't have to be like everyone else. Step out. Be different. I love that. Girl, yeah.
I love her so much.
If you like any of these people, you can thank Elvis, basically.
Thank you, Elvis.
I think it's a testament to Elvis that this many people from different walks of life, in every genre of music, in every genre of art, the arts, like Post Malone, Eddie Murphy, like completely different type of people.
Right.
They all love Elvis. So there's just a big draw. And honestly, that's a tribute. That's a cherry on top.
Yeah, it's so fascinating to see how many people, no matter what their occupation is, were influenced by him and what he did.
Carrie Underwood, 50 Cent, John Stamos. John Stamos loves Elvis so much. Doesn't he do the tour?
Yeah, he's on the recording. It's crazy.
This is from, I hope I'm saying his name right, but David Frick with an E on the end, from Rolling Stone, 1986. At Sun Studio in Memphis, Elvis Presley called to life what would soon be known as rock and roll with a voice that bore strains of the Grand Ole Opry and Beale Street, of country and the blues. At that moment, he ensured instinctively, unknowingly, that pop music would never again be as simple as black and white.
That's the one I was thinking of. I don't know why, but I like that quote.
Do you want to read it? Because I read it weird.
No, I like the way you read it, girl. Keep it in.
Should I reread it? Because I stuttered.
If you want. I liked it.
Okay. I liked it.
I like you.
Okay. This sums it up for me.
Yeah, I always think back to that quote. I remember writing a paper for my freshman year in college about Elvis and racism, because that's when I was really like learning a lot about it.
I love that.
And I included that quote because I feel like that's just the tea. Like, that's what happened. And please, please, like, wrapping this up, if you have any doubts that Elvis, you know, took music, used his white privilege, you know, negatively, whatever you think, just do a little bit of research. I hope this podcast helped those out there. Use this podcast as a resource to show others, you know.
Absolutely.
If you're an Elvis fan, and I know there's people out there that know people, I know people who think Elvis was racist and stole music and everything. So please use us as, you know, credible sources, I guess.
Literally. And don't even take our word for it. Do your research. It's on anything you Google, quotes from real people who did know Elvis and real people who were inspired by Elvis even today. Just do your research. It's amazing what Google can do.
It's easy to say like, oh, then Elvis was racist, but it's a lot harder, but it's worth it to say.
It's
really easy to look at the fact that Elvis, yes, sang black artist music, and you could look at that fact and say, well, then he's racist because he stole music in a time where, you know, those people didn't have the opportunity to sing their songs and have themselves known. But it's a lot harder to find out the deeper meaning behind what happened and really what that influence did for not only the black community, but for the music industry as a whole. So please, if you have any doubts about this, do your research, listen to the people who know what's up. Who were affected by it. And I'm positive it's going to change your mind.
Honestly, take it from the mouths of the people who were there.
Right.
Don't take everything so seriously, because people back then surely didn't.
I agree, but I do agree with that.
Perfect. Do you want to say something more?
You talking made me think of Roy Hamilton.
I love Roy Hamilton. Oh my god. Can we just do a podcast on him?
Sure, yeah.
I would love to, because he's one of my favorite people in the world.
His story, and I think his son was even friends with Elvis too.
His son did a documentary and talked about Elvis and talked about his father's relationship. I would love to get into that right now, but Mary doesn't have the time. Love you.
Wait, all right, Maggie. Well, I had so much fun talking about this with you. You know, it's one of my favorite topics, and I love talking, you know, deep with you. So thank you for the time that you shared with me today.
Thank you as well for forcing me to buy a mic. I feel like it's going to be better quality now. Thanks for bringing the topic to the table. I'm really excited for the next one. I'm going to start writing notes now.
I can't wait. You guys, now we have mics. Nothing can stop us. So you're going to get lots of content.
Someone's like, the audio is still shit, bitch.
You're like, you're not fooling anyone.
Podcast is our baby. And remember, guys, we're a long-distance couple. We're just trying to make our relationship work. So please just...
Literally, me and Maggie live in literally separate countries, so, as you can tell by our voices. But anyways. All right, should we do our outro? Okay, until we meet again, may God bless you.
Adios. Ding, 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 ding.